Our text says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin." I think that pastor has probably preached on a lot of these things. "Wherefore, putting away lying, let speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But be you therefore followers of God as your children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for an offering for a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Now I'd like to look at a couple of the words here, things that we ought to do. But I want to look at tonight through the idea of communication. I've been looking at this week. You know, it's said that there are four forms of communication. There's a communication of time, where we invest time in our loved ones and friends. There's a communication of gifts. You know, that's where we give things. There's a communication of touch. There's a communication with words. I'm convinced in today's world that we all need to work more on words and communicating. You know, there's just some things here I'd like to see this evening. Look at verse 25, if you would, please. Verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor." Number one, the importance of speaking the truth. Look, if you would, at John 8:44. The reason that, you know, John 8:44, we should not lie. Of course, we know that. But there's sometimes we know things, but just don't apply them. Look at John 8:44. We see here the devil. Book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. We're going to go through these things, and then we're going to go back and make an application at the end like we normally do. John 8:44. Says, "You are your father the devil, and then the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now look over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The importance of speaking the truth. We as believers ought to speak the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So we see the importance that we ought always to speak the truth. Now look back at Ephesians chapter 4, back there again. This time we're going back up 10 verses, and we're going to look at verse 15 tonight. Ephesians 4, 15. We saw number one, that every man should speak the truth. Number two, we should speak the truth in love. Back up to verse 15. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ." You know, it's been said that the truth is gracious if told in love, is vicious if it's told without love. Look at Proverbs 27:6, the importance of telling the truth with love. Book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Got quite a few scriptures starting out tonight. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Am I talking too fast, Lydia? I am, okay. Proverbs 27:6. Says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." So we ought to speak the truth, but we ought always to speak the truth in love. And then look on down to verse 29 there. And I'll try to slow up a little bit. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Look at the word good, and it means useful, pleasant, good. With edifying, of course, we know it means to build up. So we ought to speak the truth with love, and we ought to speak that which is good, that will build folks up, to make them stronger. So, and then look on down to verse 29. Again, we're going to go on through these. Verse 29 again. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, they may minister grace unto the hearers." We see here that, you know, they should minister grace to the hearers. In our lives, you know, with our words ought to minister or to give something to those around us. So we always speak good. And then look on down to verse 29 again. It says, the last part said, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption." So we should see here just kind of a quick review. We see that we should speak the truth. We should speak the truth with love, but we should speak that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. A question tonight simply is this: in my life, do I apply these verses back to Ephesians 4:32? It says, "And be kind one to another." You know, today, in our lives, in our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you're at church, your relationship with our home, with our spouse, or our spouse, or our kids, or our grandkids, or our friends, or with our neighbors, are we doing what we ought to be doing? Are we speaking the truth in love? Are we gracious in a word? And are we speaking truth that will build them up? I think today in this world, that there's a need for communication, because we live in technology, a world of technology today. There's not a lot of communication where you just stop, you look at each other, you talk back and forth, you get to know each other. You know, it's been said that folks don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. I think in communication, it's letting folks know that we're willing to stop, take time to talk to them, take time to speak the truth to them in love, and just stop and listen and show them we care. And then if we stop and they begin to see that we care, and then they're willing to listen as we speak the truth to edify and build up. And down in Cincinnati, I'm amazed at folks now that are just starting to talk to us, because we drive around the van or walk or ride the bike about every day. Down through Argent Heights and Redding, Saint Bernard, and I mean not Saint Bernard, but Elmwood and Carthage, and it's just amazing now that people will stop and talk to us. I went by White Castle. Our White Castle closed for a week. Oh, it was terrible. No White Castle coffee for a week. I'd always go through the with the drive-through in the van. Because it's got the church name on it. You could get our name out. And I'd always wave at the guys. Drinking their coffee. So then one day I pulled up next to them. I sat there and drank my coffee. The next day I pulled up to them and they came over and said, "Hi, are you the pastor there?" And we began to talk back and forth. But even though it's been closed for a week, they've been there every day. Those guys were there every day. They go to McDonald's and get their coffee and go sit in the White Castle parking lot. I don't know if it makes it better or what, but I think it does, because I do the same thing. So I feel kind of silly, but I go over. I do it for the ministry's sake. That's the way it is. But these things, people will begin to listen to us if they think we, or if they know we care. We can speak the truth in love. We can speak the truth and not be malicious. In our homes, we should be, our kids and grandkids and those around us, our neighbors, should see a people that love each other, and they stop and talk. The gift of time, the commission of time, they're actually doing a study now on the time spent in families. It's called a, I looked up the word, but I couldn't say it, and I didn't write it down, but it's a long word, and they're doing a study of how much time people spend with their spouses and their families now, because they said it's such a need. They're doing an actual study of that. It's a study of people that give gifts, invest. In our lives, it's good to know what we shouldn't do. It's good to know what we should do. But the question is, do we apply these things that we learned? It doesn't do any good up here in just our head. It's when it reaches a heart and it applies to our life. Let me come up here real quick. I'm lonesome. Here's my wife real quick. I messed up without Hope the other day. I was using the illustration, and I got all of my suit coat jackets, doing the burden of sin. So I got all of my jackets up. I can't put a jacket on her. I had like 7 jackets on her, and I wasn't thinking, but it was 70 degrees, 5 degrees in the auditorium, and she with the whole service with all these jackets on. And then I went over to pull up the jacket at the end, and they was heavy. Got in trouble when I got home. But, the fact is this. As a husband and wife, if we're not careful, it's easy to get used to each other. It's easy to stop the communication of time invested in each other. It's easy to stop the communication of giving gifts to each other. It's easy to stop the communication of just sitting and talking. We get so busy in today's world, we don't stop and communicate and talk to each other. All these things that we see here in Ephesians 5 tonight had to do with taking time to talk to one another. We edify, we build up. As husbands, we should take time to invest in our wives. Take time to spend time with them. The wives should take time for the husbands, and the kids. We come to church. Do we take time and just talk to each other? Just sit and fellowship with each other. That's all I needed. She hates coming up here. So with all that said, tonight, quick thing here on communication, and then we're come back to this point. Look at what Proverbs 18:21, the importance that they realize the power of words. Do I really realize the power of words in our lives? Proverbs 18:21, the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do I really understand and realize the power of words? They're saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't hurt me. That's a lie. Probably most of us can remember words that have been said to us, that words that hurt. So we need to realize the power of words. Then look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. We need to realize, number one, the power of the words. Number two, we need to realize that one day we will give account for our words. Matthew 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But I say unto you that every idle word, that's a humbling thought when I want to stop and reflect on our words and realize that I will give account of our words. Then look at Proverbs 13:3. Proverbs 13:3. And We're going back to our Ephesians here in just a second. Proverbs 13:3. We realize the power of words. We realize that we'll give account for our words in Proverbs chapter 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The importance, that we're going to give account of our word. Then look at Psalm 141:3. Psalm 141:3. Psalm 141:3. Something we all should do. Pray. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I believe that husbands should pray this prayer. Wives, and then the children, friends, neighbors, church members. I believe that we all should pray this prayer. To number one, we need to realize the power of words. Number two, realize that we will give account. And then number three, realize we need to listen. You know, there are times that we hear, but we don't listen. There's times we hear, we don't. I think I've used the illustration before, either here or over in Sunday school next door. You know, one time my wife and I was on a trip, and we was going down the road, and we was talking, and she was talking, and ladies talk more than guys talk, so I was just, my mind was going here and there, and she was talking, and then all of a sudden she says, "Well, what do you think?" I had no idea what she said. I heard every word, but I didn't understand what there was. No understanding there. I think part of communication is to really realize that I need to stop and listen. How many times maybe has someone been hinting or asking for help, but we're so preoccupied we was listening, but we didn't hear what they said. How many times have we sat in church at the end of service, walk out the door and not remember what was said in church? How many times have we spent time with our kids, and we got home, and we went somewhere with the kids, and we got home, and we don't remember what the conversation was? Importance of words. If the importance of words, I'll take time to listen. I know that the last couple of weeks for Christmas we gave the grandkids a coupon for a free paw day, and it's free for them, but a free paw day, and then they got a thing of caramel corn from grandma, and they can cash in the coupons whenever they want. And so what I've done when I pick them up, I turn my phone on vibrate, and I only answer emergency calls. I'll look at it, and I put it back in my pocket. Why? I'm starting to learn the value of words. The older I get, the more I understand. I wonder what all that I've missed in my lifetime by not taking time to listen. So as we realize the power of words, and we realize that we'll give account, then we also realize that we need to listen, and to listen to be able to hear what's said. And then the next thing is this, that talking is much more than words. Talking is much more than words. I can tell what my wife is thinking by her face. Can't I, Lydia? You know, the other day, I every so often, just for illustration's sake, I do this somewhere, and I ask her a question. I said, "Wait, no." And then I said what I know she was thinking, you know. And then a little bit later, I asked another question, and I'm right, aren't I, Lydia?
Yes.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. Sometimes I don't want to know the truth, and I tell the truth because she can't hide her face. But talking, it's, you know, they said that a context is 7%, tone is 38%, and just the contact is 55%. In our lives, let me come up here real quick. One more time. Taking time to listen and watch what our spouses are saying, our friends are saying, our neighbors are saying, our church members are saying. Taking time to listen to what they're saying. Take time to speak the truth in love. Take time to edify and to minister to the needs of folks. But many times we can't listen and minister because we don't take time to listen. Now, you tell me which one means more sincere. I love you. I love you. There.
Oh, I love you.
Which one seemed more sincere? The last one. Why? Tone of voice? Contact? Said it like I mean it. Okay, thank you. The lost world can tell if we love them. The lost world can tell by our tone, our face, that we love them. In our lives, let's understand the need. As we speak the truth in love, and we communicate, and we listen, you know, and we try to minister to them, that we need to listen, we need to talk, and be sincere when we talk. In our lives, it's good that we get rid of the bad speech, but we put off and then we put on the right speech, and the right speech is learning how to. How to communicate in love. You can communicate to minister grace to the hearer and to edify, to build them up. And as we do these things, I believe it'll help our families, it'll help our soul winning and our witnessing and all that. Then one last verse, look at Proverbs 25:11. Not the last verse, but we're getting close. Proverbs 25:11. I just saw this morning. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The word fitly, it means to be suitable, proper, and at the right time. Learn when to say things and when not to. Learn when to say things and when not to. There was a guy that Hope here a while back. We was in the van. We was having Johnny Romans, and when one of the guys at the street said something, the guy not just said to us, but this guy leaned out the window and said some things. And I said, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking?" He said, "Well, I told him off." I said, "Yeah, but will he listen to us again?" I said, "Next time I come through here and you're not with me, he's going to beat me up, and you know, and it's you that run your mouth." What happened? He spoke, and it wasn't fitly. How many times have we said something, even in jest, when it wasn't fit? We hurt somebody without knowing it. We didn't stop and look at the situation. We said something. Or how many times have we corrected someone? Look on down to verse 12. As an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Sometimes people aren't willing to listen when we correct them with the Word of God. Sometimes, I've always asked God to give me help in this area. Sometimes people aren't ready to be helped yet, and many times we try to instruct somebody, and we don't have the right spirit, and they don't have the right spirit, and it does more harm than good. In our lives, let's go back to Ephesians 5. It should be all of our prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 4. Verse 25. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth, speak truth as his neighbor, for we are members to speak truth. Then on down to verse 19, but look back over to verse 15, I think it was. But speaking the truth in love, always speak the truth in love. Then back to verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, it may minister grace to the hearers. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. My thought this evening, just to sum everything up, just in one thought. In one thought, it is this. I need to learn to communicate to other folks that I can show them that I love them, and I want to help them, and I want to minister to their needs, and I want to do and I want to speak to them in love. As we was talking on Tuesday evening over in the evangelism class, I said you know, on the street, folks can tell if you're sincere or not. You can say I love you, and they can tell by your face you're lying. But if we go in sincere and truth, and say, listen, we love you, we're praying for you, can I share the gospel with you? Most of the time, they will take the track, or they'll take the reproof, because they know they're loved. Our homes will be a lot sweeter if we speak the truth in love in our homes, and not get so used to each other that we forget. We still should speak the truth in love in our homes. Our kids grow up. Let's don't have memories of what we ought to have done, what we ought to have said. Let's have memories of what was done right. In our lives today, my question to you simply is this. What do you communicate that you love them and you want to be a witness to them? Or that you're just handing the track, yeah, or witnessing because it's our duty? When we tell our spouse we love her, love him, do they sincerely know they're loved? When we tell our kids we love them and we minister to our kids, do they know that we mean that we love them and we're there for them, and it's sincere? Let's ask the Lord tonight to help us use our speech fitly, and ask God to work.